According to Joe Cocker, nobody had a bigger heart than the man who literally defined soul music, Mr. Ray Charles. Joe Cocker remembers seeing Ray Charles perform for the first time.
He came to Manchester, very close to Sheffield. It was only about an hour's drive away in 1963. And, you know, I'm, again, like a schoolboy, I went with some friends and in the, you know, I remember reading the program and it says, due to the sensitivity of Mr. Charles, he will only, I mean, he does not do a set of the same every night, and he will select tunes from the following, and they listed like 200 songs, you
what?
Know, that Ray might pick tunes from, you know.
Wow, like a Chinese and menu.
And I never, I mean, what blew me away too, he had Billy Preston with him.
Then?
So that's telling you how old Billy is, isn't it? Billy was like about 14, I mean, he was his protege. He came on stage before Ray and did a couple of songs.
I never heard this before.
Yes, before Ray came out. It was amazing.
Did you meet Ray Charles, and did you have the opportunity to develop a relationship or work together?
Yeah. No, I mean, I met Ray over the, you know, being such a fan, I used to always feel terribly shy again around him. But, you know, in the book that he, you know, he wrote, he said, you know, that I was like one of his truest disciples. He knew that I'd been listening to him a lot.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I mean, we actually did record a version of You Are So Beautiful together on an NBC special that was, I forget when it was. It must have been in the 80s, I think. Over the years, I mean, I was, whenever I went to see Ray, if I went backstage, he would always let me into the dressing room. You know, I'd listen to Ray's live albums, and if you listen to them, there's always somebody calling out in the background, like, 219, 159, and all this. And for years, I'd always wondered what it meant. I always thought it meant somebody was timing the songs or something like that. And then I got with Ray, and he said to me, no, he said, for instance, like, Georgia on My Mind is number 75. And What Did I Say is number 122.
What? It's like a jukebox.
And, well, I guess when he used to pull out the arrangements, and, you know, when we were talking about him changing the set, so for his horn section, he would just, you know, when they say, "What is how's the set going to be?" And Ray would go, oh, 219, they're going to be 451. I mean, it must have been easier for him to remember the numbers than it was to remember the titles, which I still found very strange.
Wow. I wonder if that had anything to do with, you know, not being sighted.
Oh, definitely. No, I mean, definitely.
You think so?
Yeah, because, I mean, in the movie, you see how he used to number his clothes and things like that.
That's what I was going to just... That was my next question, if you'd seen the film, Ray, and what do you think of the film?
Well, you know, I was watching a thing about the making of that movie, and when they showed a scene where Jamie Foxx is around the piano, and they're going, okay, we're waiting for Ray to come, you know, and it was almost like the spirit would enter him and he could go into doing the thing, you know. So I really think, I mean, I'd love to see him get the Oscar because I was blown away by the sensitivity of him because, you know, I mean, Ray used to stammer pretty bad whenever you were, you know, he was around more than one or two people. You know, he'd always been, I mean, you did, and I thought Jamie was very sensitive that he didn't push that, you know what I mean? But he still showed that kind of introvert side of Ray. I thought a brilliant performance. I mean, there were some things about the movie that, you know, I mean, they didn't use as, I mean, they had 3 Raylettes instead of 5. And there were a couple of vocals in there that weren't Ray. I mean, I think it was Jamie Foxx sang a couple of, you know, just when he was sat around the piano. You know, I'd have to see the film a couple of times, but overall, I thought it was, you know, because after he died, I remember one of the newspapers, like the LA Times, I looked and it said, blind crooner Ray Charles dies. You know, I thought, well, my God, with all the, what Ray did to change in the face of music, if he goes out being known as a blind crooner, that's not very nice, you know. I mean, the man really did something, changed the whole scene around. I know when people talk about endangered species, they forget in human terms when everybody... When we lose these great artists, there's nobody coming on the horizon to fill the gap, you know.
Unchain my heart, baby, let me be. 'Cause you don't care Well, please set me free. Unchain my heart, baby, let me go. Unchain my heart, 'cause you don't love me no more. Every time I call you on the phone, some valley tells me that you're not at home. Unchain. Unchain my heart, please set me free.
Joe Cocker, reprising the Ray Charles classic Unchain My Heart, originally on Cocker's 1987 album of the same name, now included on The Ultimate Collection.
I know Chris Thomas King. He's the actor in the in real life a blues musician. He plays Lowell Fulsom in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
He recorded three songs with Ray and that aren't in the film. And Chris tells me that right up to the point that Mr. Charles actually passed away, that movie's title was Unchain My Heart. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I heard that was the rough title for it, yeah.
What was Ray's reaction to your version of Unchain My Heart? Do you know?
I never did get any feedback on that. No, I did meet him, a few times after I'd recorded it. And he never brought it up, and nobody around him ever brought it up.
Were you invited to duet with Ray on this final album, Genius Loves Company?
No, I wasn't, And I was a little disappointed, I'll be honest. Although his genius still shines through. I mean, his keyboard forever, I mean, what a player. Hitting the age of 60, and I wonder, I've only done maybe 20 albums, 24 albums in my whole life. And Ray, I think, he left a legacy of something like 62 albums, that he recorded in that. I mean, it was an amazing body of work, if you think about it.
What song would you have wanted to sing with Ray if you had the opportunity? I know it's impossible to pick one, but try me.
No, that's always, two guys singing together, there's not a lot you can, when you're doing duets. Unless somebody, writes a song specifically for you, it's kind of a bit awkward, doing that. And when we did You Are So Beautiful together, it was, I never forget, because how Ray could, he could play stuff so slow that there was no time to it at all. unless you really knew that kind of... you'd watch him sway about like a.
Metronome. That's because you're from the north of England, and you never seen molasses come out of the vat down here in the south.
Hey, baby, yeah, it took me a while to realize, but I never forget because we rehearsed it. I'm going, you are so beautiful. He's going, all right, baby, I got it. And then when we did it on the live performance, he suddenly switched it down to this down gear that had me sweating heavy big time.
He made you work for it.
Well, he knew what he was doing. He was pulling the strings a little. Yeah.
That's Joe Cocker with fond recollections of his idol, the late Ray Charles.